Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to 670 The Score. No, it's not Parkinson Spiegel. You get a special treat instead. It's Gabe and Grody. And then, of course, the Cubs just defeated the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-3. Grody, how you feeling, man? You sporting a mustache? It's looking good on you, man. You know that's the first thing you mentioned. Got the porn stash on, bro. What you want me to say?
I don't know. I had, like, the full beard today, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and shave. And I was like, I took off the sides first, and I was like, you know what? I have never in my life done a mustache. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to leave that. And I was running out of time at my home as well to get here.
I will tell you this, guys in the car or girls that are listening right now. You know, Grody and I, we've been texting all day. We've even made plans to go watch the Bulls game after this. I'm going to feel a certain type of way with you wearing that mustache if we go out somewhere. It's already suspect when we're out there.
Yeah, there's no excuse. It's not even like Movember, like when everybody does the mustache. It's like, aha, you're doing it because it's funny to do mustaches. This is an actual thing that is occurring with me. I also feel like as I was walking down the hallway, because I felt like I was running late. Technically, I was running late, but I got off the elevator. I've got this slicker on because there was a few drips of rain.
Windbreaker jacket.
A windbreaker. Yeah. I like slicker. Slicker. I'm comfortable with slicker. I put the slicker on, and then I grabbed a hoodie as well. I look like a person going to a ball game right now.
Yeah.
Don't I look like a person going?
You look like a lot of things, Mark. I'll tell you that right now.
And the mustache.
A guy that's at a ball game. But you know, obviously, you didn't get an opportunity to go to the Cubs game. That was in Arizona. But I know you, as the one of the ultimate Cubs fans on this radio station, you were certainly watching it and certainly impressed at the outcome today.
Holy cow. It was not only the outcome was great, obviously, but Hayden freaking Wesneski, his first appearance of the year. And this is one of those guys, Hayden Wesneski, who's got the stuff.
Yeah.
Got the stuff. He was burning 97 today, and it's never quite blossomed. This performed 4 shutout innings today. Not only that, he came in the 5th inning, enters for Wicks.
Jordan Wicks.
Yeah.
Had himself a day also.
With the game tied at 2, runners on first and second, 1 out. Then he gets pop out, fly out. So that's how his season begins. Here you go. Here's the ball with 2 on. And this is a guy who probably still has feelings about being a starter someday. Instead of that, here's the toughest part of the ball game against one of the toughest teams in all of baseball.
Yeah, Craig Counsell had his relievers in some curious situations yesterday. And to think of the situation where he throws in Hayden Wesneski, but what can you say? Only 1 hit in 4 innings.
Bro. So good. I mean,
and then to be able to go 4 innings, again, Craig Counsell utilizing his bullpen the way he sees fit, allowing a guy to continue to go out there and know that his stuff's on point, firing it. Well, you thought the story of the day was going to be Jordan Wicks.
Yeah.
Right? Another good start. You're hoping it would be that case. And then Hayden Wesneski comes in, and, of course, you see Drew Smyly at the back end just to get those last couple of outs.
You know, Wicks was fine. I've got to lessen my expectations for this guy who is basically Jordan Wicks. Like today, you said another good performance, and you're right. I mean, 4 1/3, 2 runs on 5 hits, struck out 5, walked 1, 74 pitches. I mean, you're right. That's good.
I mean, settling down after the Marte homer in the first.
It
says a lot right there. You're talking to a Sox fan. It's a great performance, all
right? It is. No, dude, you gave me a little perspective right there on Wicks. You did, because, like, I have this expectation of him probably because of that first performance that he had last year where Tommy Hotovy makes the famous visit out to the mound, and then everything is cool, and we've all got a fun, loving story for Jordan Wicks. But he just hasn't been that great since. But you're right. That's especially in this day and age, 4 1/3.
You get 4 1/3, you're good.
He's still a rookie, man. Really.
Yeah, and especially when you're in this situation, trying to take the series. You had a heartbreaker last night, you know, that goes into extras. 12, you know, this is a heartbreaker. And you come out today, you want to put out a good performance, you know, pick up, you know, the professor. Because I know you got a soft spot in your heart for the professor.
Everybody's got a soft spot for them. I mean, he was on the mound in the Game 7 of the World Series.
All I know is that in my group text last night, somebody was like, can someone send a letter to Kyle Hendricks to retire peacefully into the sunset?
Oh, I know.
I was like, no.
Nobody wants bad things for Kyle Hendricks. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, nobody's – it's going to take a – like, the
he's
buzz –
he's going to come around. He's
well, I don't
pitcher.
Know if he's going to come around, but this reminds me a little bit of the end of Jake Arrieta, if we're going to do a Cubs parallel.
Okay.
Where everybody was on – Jake Arrieta second time around with the Cubs, where – nobody wanted it to be over for Arrieta, and nobody wanted to get mad at Arrieta. Nobody wanted to be like, we just wanted, go do your bad stuff. We're not looking. We're not. And it's the same thing with Kyle Hendricks. It's like 4 1/3, 7 runs on 5
it's
hits.
Tough.
Yeah. And you're right, man. You nailed it. Like, I thought the same thing after last night, the way that crazy, actually, if you looked at it objectively, a blast of a ball game, but a heartbreaker for the Cubs. So today felt like, not must win, but be really nice to win this game after
last
night.
That the Cubs were able to take the series says a lot. I mean, they've gone through a gauntlet at the beginning of the season, and now to be facing, you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks, a scrappy team that, you know, feels as though they want to prove that they're better than the Cubs, especially early in the season.
Yeah.
They feel like they should have won the first game.
Sure.
All right, Cubs get away with that one. Second game, they win it. They think they want to come in and win the series, and the Cubs battle back and end up handling business. Cody Bellinger, big homer to take the lead in the sixth inning. I thought that was key for the Chicago Cubs. Cody coming through. Was upset at some instances yesterday where he didn't necessarily come through in the clutch in some moments, so I'm sure he felt good hitting the homer in
this
one.
It's been nice to see the Cubs offense get it back on because they started really strong, and then as expected, at some point in time, they would come down to earth and to reality a little bit, and they did in a bad way, and Belly was in on that. I don't know if he's still hitting one something. Maybe not. We know how fast up and down that thing
goes. I stopped
goes.
Checking because they're winning.
You
can point at some people, but for the most part, you just at the lineup, you're just like, hey, man, they're finding ways to win, and that's the beauty of the Cubs
Say this about Arizona, man. They are good. Good, and they will get. I mean, they were in the World Series last year. I don't have to really sell.
Yeah.
But Ketel Marte is a badass.
Nasty.
Ketel, like, we don't talk about him enough, and I'm complicit. That's why I'm talking about him right now, and it's because of the West Coast playing thing. Like, they got some ballers on Matt Carroll. Like, that guy.
Listen, to tie the game up in the bottom of the ninth with two outs, and then to come back the next day and start the first inning with another home run.
Oh, yeah.
You're a bad man.
Great point.
Craig Counsell talked about the team. He had some high praise for his squad after taking the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks again. Cubs defeat them 5-3. Here's Craig Counsell talking about his squad.
I mean, I thought it was probably our best pitching performance of the year, considering everything that, you know, his travels and getting up at the crack, you know, when it was dark out, really, 4 o'clock in the morning to catch a flight out here. So he was tired, you know, and just the combination of the pitches and the intensity and the travel, the lack of sleep. But he delivered a performance that we needed, and he got us, you know, to get us into the ninth inning. Just a really great performance. Yeah, I mean, it's just, look, we got to, you know, we've had some injuries like a lot of teams, and you got to step up and you got to get great performances. And today we got a great performance from, you know, somebody we needed a great performance from. And so it's about really players just, you know, getting a shot maybe and doing something special. And we got that today. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody, you know, they were aware of kind of the situation for sure, and that's, you know, they're generally called when there's a need in that situation. So, you know, both those guys were definitely on high alert, and they're ready to go. And yeah, we Hayden was pretty much he was going to pitch at some point today, and I wasn't expecting 4 innings, but did a heck of a job with it.
But just, it seems like on this road trip, it's he's really been locked in. Just what has stood out to you about his defensive performance?
Well, yeah, he had a heck of a road trip defensively for sure. Played it really flawlessly and made plays, thought he made some real heady plays too. I think his pace is improving. Obviously made some spectacular plays. So, a great road trip.
It seems like Cody Bellinger the past couple of days has been hitting a little harder and getting better swings off. What have you thought of his at-bats?
Yeah, I mean, it's coming for Cody. He's another guy that's he's probably a little tired too. He's been out there a lot and a long trip here. So he's grinding through it and he's close. I know he's close, and you see some swings like that, and it makes you think so. I thought Jordan pitched really well. I mean, I thought he got kind of ambushed on the first pitch homer, and then he did a. He had really good attack in the zone today, I thought. It's funny. He's turned it. There's some big swing and miss there. He really had their hitters kind of in between on the chain, like respecting the changeup. And I thought Jan and him used the fastball well today and in good spots. And it was a good start. Yeah, I mean, getting healthier is getting better. So push days through and guys stay healthy, and that's going to make us a better team.
Craig Counsell talking after the Cubs victory. Cubs take down the Arizona Cardinals 5-3. Cubs and the Cards were tied at 5 until Cody Bellinger knocked a homer in the sixth. Cubs put on two more in the eighth. The Arizona Diamondbacks are trying to make magic again, but only got a Jock Peterson only. They got a Jock Peterson homer in the ninth to make it 5-3. But Craig Counsell is certainly happy with his team after a nice little victory there. We're going to open up the phone lines. It's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody. Thoughts on the Cubs game? Cubs series, more specifically, after this one. It's been quite the gauntlet for the Chicago Cubs. How you feeling about your team? Got to be feeling good. Maybe you're feeling good about Hayden Wesneski. We want to hear about it. 312-644-6767. Your calls and more.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Gabe and Grody next, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It is Gabe and Grody, Double G in the building. Cubs defeat the Arizona Cardinals 5-3 behind some dandy pitching from Jordan Wicks. Gave him 4 1/3. Also, Hayden Wesneski comes in first. Appearance of the season, going 4 strong, getting the victory. Drew Smiley coming in at the end, locking up 2 outs to get the victory for the Cubs, and they take the series 2-1. We're taking some phone calls. Want to get some reactions to the game. How you feeling about this Cubs team? It was kind of shaky. A lot of these games were close, but you still got to be feeling about the boys in blue after this one. Let's go to Tony out in Barrington. Tony, you're still disappointed about this road trip despite the victory?
Yeah, heck yes. It should have been an 8-1 road trip. I'm tired of settling for anything less than that. They should have won last night. Last night's game was a disgrace. come on. They got a guy on third base, the ninth inning, and Swanson can't put a bat on a ball. I'm sorry. Plus, last night, with none of those pitchers, they couldn't throw the ball over the plate. That was a game that was they should have won. That was blown. And then, lead we had
Tony, let me ask you this then. Tony, let me ask you this. So what's the part that disgusts you the most? Is it the hitting? Is it the pitching? Is it coaching?
Well, there was. Thank God.
You
for
can't complain. You can't
right.
complain about the Cubs not being 8-1 on the road trip and then not give me
yeah,
something that you're
can,
really upset
man.
About.
Gabe, what have I told you?
No.
Greed is good. He wants it all.
There you go.
We have
That's
high
right.
expectations. Yeah.
Why not? Why
you
not?
Hear me?
Expectations. We got to have high expectations. I'm like. It's typical Cubs. We have to settle for this.
Tony,
oh, I love this guy.
Tony, are you kidding me?
I love this guy.
The Cubs are 11-7.
Tony.
After
Tony.
A gauntlet of 18 games begin to a season, and you're complaining about that?
You don't get it,
My
Gabe.
White Sox are zero, are 0-1 million so far. I haven't even. It's ridiculous.
You don't get it, do you?
What's the part not to get?
The part is the Cubs set a new. Where were you between 2015 and, let's say, 2018? I'm going to say. Where were you? Yeah, see? You were down the hallway. You don't understand what was going on and the new expectations and the new bar that the Cubs set. No longer settling for, oh, it's a really nice start to the season for the Cubs, and look at that dandy win. What the hell happened last night? Why was Luke Little throwing? Why couldn't Miguel Amaya? The Luke Little thing, of course it bugged me that Luke Little threw two wild pitches last night that caused runs to score. But the part
he shouldn't
that really
have been in there.
Well, not even that. Miguel Amaya has got to make a play for his pitcher. I know, man. In this day, guess
so
what?
Good,
catchers
though.
Are expected to make plays. And two wild pitches and then a pass ball and then a throwing error. Bring Miguel Amaya into the conversation if you want to talk about last night.
Okay, we can talk about him defensively. Offensively, key contributor to the Cubs for the last couple of games.
I liked Miguel Amaya.
Luke Little looked little. Luke Little looked little out there.
At 6'8".
His legs were shaking. Yeah. He came into that situation and they just was like, I'm not the guy for the job right now. And when it got into the dirt and they passed him Miguel by, I was like, yeah, I saw that from the very beginning.
So you think he threw into the dirt on purpose?
I think
he didn't want to come to
I
that
think
plate.
Luke's little legs were a little loose and they ended up leaking the ball.
I think it's possible.
A little short.
It's not so good yesterday. Yeah. So I am with Tony. I'm with Tony in general, man. Take it all. Want it all. Don't do everything relative to the Sox game. That's going to be your downfall.
For the whole season?
Yes.
Well,
you can't do that to yourself.
It allows me to praise the Cubs in a different light. You know?
Oh, interesting.
Instead of pretending to be a fan or you know, losing some sort of Sox dumb, it's more so, you know, looking at them and being jealous of a team that's doing things properly. And then being grateful for what's in front of you, right? Talking about the Cubs from that angle, as opposed to Tony, who wants them to go undefeated the whole season.
You do give good perspective. I will say that. You helped me with Jordan Wicks right at the beginning. I wanted to say, come on, man. Can you go beyond 4 1/3? What's going on this year, Jordan? And you're like, hey, look, Wicks was a first-round pick.
He just complained about Kyle Hendricks giving up 2 homers and 7 earned.
Know,
and Jordan Wicks gives you 4 1/3, two runs, and you're complaining about
Council
it.
Has
– You got Ben Brown coming up to the mound. You got 17 rookies that are coming up. You got guys you signed. Everybody's playing well. Heck, Harris finally figures it out yesterday. It's like all these good things are happening. And you're like, but we're not perfect.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. It's 162 games. What the hell else are we going to talk about if we can't pick things apart?
Yeah,
if
you're
we can't,
right.
That's the essence of baseball.
Right, so you want to complain about yesterday's game?
Yeah, that's what I just did.
We can do it some more.
The Edward Alzolay again.
That's what I'm saying. We can live there for a second.
Bomb.
Phones are still open. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody coming off the Cubs victory 5-3. Albert Alzolay, I mean, I saw Mark Schanowski, you know, famed Bulls guy. And just,
oh, yeah.
Put out a pretty tough worded tweet yesterday.
Schanowski.
Did you see it?
No.
Basically saying that the front office hasn't done anything to help Craig Counsell out with the back end of the bullpen.
Mm.
Albert Alzolay has done this way too many times. And I mean, it was
Well, I think the interesting part about that is the way what they wanted to do to protect Alzolay going into this year was signing Hector Neris. And you just mentioned his name. Neris has, for the most part, struggled this year.
Yeah.
So I understand what Schanowski is saying, but that is the backup plan. And I don't think that the Cubs in their minds ever were completely sure that Alzolay would be the closer for all the games this year. But
he did earn it last season. When you felt you can give him the ball.
Absolutely. And I think he earned it to start this year. And I don't think you pull the plug on him yet.
No.
But this is it's a little bit of a problem. We'll see. We've seen so much good though from Alzolay as well. That was bad last night. The home run he gave up earlier in the previous series, late in the game as well. that was bad. There's been some bad moments for Alzolay recently, but on the overall, I'm sticking with him.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue when you're looking at the Cubs bullpen is the inconsistency, though, right? Because, you know, whether you're talking about Leiter, you know, you don't know. Is he going to give me a good game, a bad game? I don't know. Is one of the rookies that are coming out at the back end, about how are they going to fare? Is Drew Smyly, when he comes out in the ninth, are you holding your breath? Yes, the answer is yes to all of those questions. And I do think that what Schanowski was saying is, hey, you know, there's no one that you're going to plug in the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth inning that you feel completely confident that it's going to be three up, three down, and it's either going to be a hold or a save.
Yeah, well, I think the good news is that you have a proactive general manager, president in Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, and Craig Counsell. Craig Counsell is not going to put up with that. We always hear Craig Counsell in the promo talking about how he disagrees sometimes with Jed Hoyer, and he said that that's absolutely healthy, and Jed Hoyer has said the same thing. Sometimes I wonder, it made me wonder, what are they disagreeing on? And I'm not trying to stir anything up.
No.
I'm just like literally,
it's healthy.
What are
healthy conflict.
And I wonder if going into the season, one of the it had to have been a position that they look very closely at, the closer for a team that is supposed to win, that's pretty important. So who knows? Maybe there is a disagreement in late innings, and maybe the Neris thing was partly Counsell. Unless Neris came before Counsell.
Interesting. Another thing he put into the tweet, Mark Schanowski said, maybe it's time to give up some of this young talent in order to get some of these better pitching prospects.
Like PCA, guys like that, Pete Crow,
you know, number
Armstrong.
One, you got the number one minor league system in Major League Baseball. You can afford to give up somebody, well, maybe who's not named Pete Crow Armstrong, to get back an arm.
I was talking about this with your guy, Sean Sears, the other day, the producer of the
Shadiest game. Shadiest had the best show he ever had yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
I had one of my best shows I ever had at the Score yesterday. And I told Sean it was in part because of him.
That's huge.
And I had to praise him when he did it. But you were talking to him about what?
Matt Mervis.
You know, I talked about him at the beginning of the season. Cooper comes in. He's not leaving no space for Matt Mervis to come up.
Yeah, I agree. But, Cooper. Hey, look, Mervis, though, don't even bring him up. Just this time around.
Oh, as a trade piece.
Yes. If you're talking about trading some of your young pieces,
yes.
Matt Mervis has been he's been kind of hot lately.
Yeah.
Remember last year when we were loud about it? Again, okay. Shady Sears, every time he hit a homer in the minors last year, he was like, oh, my God. We're all excited. Then Mervis comes up to the bigs.
I like this.
Did not look like that. So he's starting to get, like, right now, he's been hitting home runs. Really talk him up. The Cubs, I suppose.
So, and then you get rid of one of, like, your middle relievers that you're not necessarily so gung-ho on.
Right. Because
throw that in with Matt Mervis, and now you get a solid guy back.
Right.
That could be good.
And Michael Bush ain't going anywhere.
You know he's not going anywhere.
Thought maybe Mervis would be the first baseman of the future. No, no, no. Bush.
I remember Bruce Levine telling me, Gabe, that's not happening.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was talking. I was like, Bruce, but what about Matt Mervis? And before the season starts, like, Gabe, not happening. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Well, all right, there you go.
I was either on that show with you or I got the same rejection from Bruce as well, because that sounds very familiar.
He's Mark Grody. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score, taking your phone calls. Cubs defeat the Arizona Cardinals 5-2-3, 312-644-6767, taking your reactions. Let's go to Andy out in Overland Park. Andy, so you have issue with the closers as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is not a one-off. If you go back to last September, the whole meltdown of the team was because of the bullpen, and a lot of that was they were tired. But Alzolay, he came back sort of from injury, but so far this year, he's 3-for-6. So basically, it's a coin flip. And then if you look at one of those saves, was against the Dodgers, and it took a great play by Michael Bush to prevent a base hit that would have brought in the two tying runs in that game. So it's just, you know, you can't have a guy out there that you just don't know which way it's going to go. It's got to be more of a lockdown kind of situation. My thinking is, you know, at this point in the season, Jed kind of blew it, in my estimation, in the offseason, not going after a real, reliable, solid closer. But you have to work with what you have. And they're going to have an abundance of starters here shortly. So, you know, once that you get all your starters back, maybe you move Assad into that role because he's got the kind of stuff and the mental makeup and he's already pitched in relief. You know, that's just one thought. But I just don't think Alzolay is the guy. We've just seen too much of this already.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Andy. I appreciate it. When you're looking at Javier Assad, Jed Hoyer was on the station earlier today talking about just that, what that back end of the rotation would look like. you know, when you get Jameson Taillon back, when you get Justin Steele back. And he talked about how much love he has for a guy like Javier Assad, who's been able to come in, you know, eat up innings, be a great pitcher for the squad. I don't necessarily like him as a closer. Again, I think you can get yourself a high-end closer that might be on last year of his deal, last 2 years of his deal, where you have still some control for one of these starting pitchers that the Cubs have. I feel like they have them in spades on this roster.
They do. How about this name? How about this name for late innings for the Cubs? At least maybe give them a shot here and there. You ready for this?
Okay.
Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Hayden Wesneski. If you're just tuning in, Hayden Wesneski, first appearance of the year. He's got the stuff. He goes four shutout innings today, his first appearance of the year. He was dropped in the fifth inning with a couple men on and managed to get out of it, pop out, fly out. So that's just a name I was thinking about. So how big was what we saw today relative to what we have been seeing from Edward Alzolay? And I was just thinking, too, because he was bringing up some of the other bad moments for him, or Alzolay, that is. The I don't know if you saw the Fernando Tatis Jr. walk-off home run. Was it a walk-off? Maybe it was in the eighth inning. No, it was in the ninth. It was Alzolay was going for the five-inning save. That's how sort of desperate Council is at this point. And he comes high and tight with him on a pitch, like almost hit him, and the crowd's like booing, and Tatis is kind of looking out at him. Very next pitch, jacks the ball into the moon. So not only has it been rough this year for Alzolay, there's
Jake
been
Peavy.
Some bad moments.
Yeah.
You say Jake Peavy?
Yeah, yeah, just Fernando Tatis and the trade. And the,
oh, that's like where your brain goes.
When I hear Tatis, that's the only thing
of course.
Sox fans think of is the trade.
Of course.
But yeah, Alzolay, I mean, you know, you just love the energy that he played with last year, right? You love the fire. And if you're the closer, he said he wanted the ball. He's like, I want to be the guy. This is what I want ultimately. And so there was a level of believability there for me. And so when I see him, I just think, yeah, you can, but it's a heartbreaker when you run into those situations where it's bottom of the ninth, two outs. Your closer's supposed to do just that, close,
yep.
And he doesn't get the job done.
Closers blow games. It happens. But it has been a tough start to the season for Alzolay. There's no other way to put it. The blown saves have been coming fast and furiously relative to it being early in the season. The good news is we're talking about starters and having excess and all of that. I do believe that Jameson Taillon is scheduled to return
tomorrow.
So that's good news for Craig Council, who deserves a ton of credit for the juggling he's done in these one-run games that the Cubs have been playing in, that Monday game, the 3-2 win, where Leiter, Neris, and Alzolay shut things down. That was luck.
I was talking to you. I was like, they're so lucky that they came out with that game.
Yeah.
Wild pitch, scoring from second. I mean, it just, you know, definitely had some moments right there. Cubs, however, tomorrow, as Mark mentioned, going to be taking on the Miami Marlins. That game begins at 6:40. Pre-game begins 6:05 right here on 670 The Score. Jed Hoyer, again, was talking about Jameson Taillon, and David Hall is doing a great job pressing him. He even followed up because he asked him a two-part question, the latter of which was whether Jameson Taillon was going to be starting on Thursday.
Yeah.
And Jed kind of answered the question, and then Dave was like, so, yeah, is Jameson going to be starting tomorrow or not? And then he went on this, like, roundabout way of saying, you know, everything that he's done up until this point has been well. His, you know, pitching simulations, everything has been good. And so, you know, you could tell he just didn't want to flat out say yes.
Yeah.
But we knew that was going to be the case. It'll be interesting to see because, listen, don't let Jameson Taillon have a bad outing. First thing you're going to do is be texting me talking about, oh, this guy can't be in the rotation. Hayden Wesneski should be a starter instead of a closer.
Well,
no,
I'm not necessarily going that far. Hall might go that far.
Yeah.
Remember, David Hall actually is the president, has always been the president of, as he calls him, Hayden Wesnasty.
Wesnasty.
He's always been the president of the fan club. But you're probably right about Taillon, and the only reason is he hasn't earned his keep with the Cubs yet, man. He's being paid well, and he's really just been very inconsistent so far.
Injuries
so,
derailed him last year a bit. Never got a chance to really get his footing. So
and then giving up five runs in the first inning in every game derailed him a little bit, too.
That was tough.
You've been very nice tonight, I got to say.
Let's go back out to the phone calls. Take one more before we go to break. Let's go to Rich out in Milwaukee. Rich, when you're looking at Albert Alzolay, do you like him as a closer?
No, I think he's got to go. He doesn't have a plus fastball, which a closer needs to shut people out. And his curveball is not good either. He's just not a closer. He doesn't have anything to blow people away with.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's a little bit more like Joe Borowski than Aroldis Chapman. Talk about an extreme example that just came out of my mouth. I don't really know where Joe Borowski came from.
Or where he's
but
at right now.
It did. I got to tell you something, though, man. People like are so fast to want to pull the closer. They're like kickers in football.
We
seriously
talk about this all the time with just Chicago sports culture.
Well, it's Chicago sports culture. But this probably, well, I don't know, maybe it is just Chicago.
Yes.
Hell, from doing pre and post with the Cubs, the worst post games that you could have, win or lose, is if a reliever, and especially a closer, gives up a run. Then you're off the team. You should go to the minors. Yeah. They should trade your ass. But if Ian Happ's 0 for 5 and makes two errors, nobody says it.
Yeah, I don't know. Keep him in the top of the order because you know he can match.
It's a tough life, man. It's like missing a 43-yard field goal. Get that Gramatica out of here.
Can't be there long enough. All right, speaking of Bears and football,
because
they definitely want to do a little bit of that.
Oh, good.
All right, cool.
Didn't know if we were going to be doing any Bears tonight.
Dude, well, all we got to do is talk about the Bulls in the 7 o'clock hour, which, you know, I'm extremely happy about.
I'm excited, too.
Reminder for you, Bulls taking on the Atlanta Hawks. Of course, the play-in game begins tonight. Pre-game begins at 8:15 right here on 670. The Score, tip-off at 8:30. We are the only local broadcast of the game, and of course, you can hear that not only here, but on the free Odyssey app. All right, Bulls chatter on the other side. We got a phone call that keeps talking about the Bears stadium, so we'll talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
There is a trade on the block in, like, the Twitter sphere. You know, not necessarily
Bears
real life.
Trade?
Yeah, Bears trade. I was talking about it yesterday. I want to get your opinion on it as to what you would give up to maybe secure the rights to a Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay. Great. Do you want to know about my mock draft or no?
You got mock draft 4.0?
Yeah, I get, no, 2.0. I did one. This is my second one. This is my final mock draft. Are you interested or no? I don't think you were that interested the last time I did a mock draft.
Stop it. No, it was because you said something about Brock Bowers, and I tuned out. But we got 39 more minutes for me to talk about your mock draft as well. Mark Grody will do that. On the other side, if you want to jump on the phones, 312-644-6767. Your calls, Bears chat on the other side. It's Gabe. It's Grody. It's 670. The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Bears. I like the song. I don't know. It just makes me get hyped up. We are, ladies and gentlemen, we should give an update on not only your mock draft 2.0, Mark Grody. It's Gabe and Grody in the building. But also, like, what next week looks like for you. You know, with the draft and the draft specials and really... I'm the one that has to tell you what that looks like again, bro.
I just don't know it off the top of my head.
I know.
I have blocked off every hour of my life 2 days before and 2 days after the draft. So at this moment, I don't have to look. But I know I've talked to Ryan Porth. He's told me all the things that I'll be doing. I'll be here. I'll be there. But, yes, I need you to get me up to date on the specifics, and I'd appreciate
it. I know we have a meeting coming up about the whole thing. But
is it tomorrow?
Yeah. Is it tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow.
I got it written down somewhere.
Me too. The meetings I don't care about. Work, I got that stuff lined up, blocked out of my mental, out of my stuff.
All right, tell me my schedule.
But next week, next week with the draft and everything like that, I am doing, after the draft, me, Hub Arkish, 9 o'clock. After the Parkins and Spiegel draft special, Hub and I will be coming on. And then the following day.
Hold on. I will be at Hallis Hall that day, too.
Oh.
So I'll probably be part of both of those shows. I just didn't want you to leave me out.
No. You most certainly will be on the show at 10 o'clock at night to give me the update.
Myself.
Yeah, you did, buddy.
Call Emma.
Yeah, you did. And then we got you and Hub Arkish the following day, of day two, Friday, 9:35 p.m. to midnight, you and Hubby.
Awesome.
You guys
Hub
an extra hour.
That is perfect. Hub knows prospects.
Yes. And then I will be doing a Hub repeat on Saturday the 27th after day two, middle of day three.
Yes.
From noon to 2:35 before the Cubs game to fill everyone in on all of that stuff. Now, we're also having a draft NFL draft preview show on Monday. That'll be 6 to 9. I low-key don't know if I'm a part of that.
Low-key? I could tell you that you're not, because I actually remember this one.
Which one's this one?
It's Big Ant. It's
me.
Oh,
and Mully?
We're going to be doing a big three-hour pregame show.
I love
together.
It when I don't have to work. It's great.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Don't call
me to come in on that show. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you know what? Actually, you're stuck coming on my podcast tonight, The Daily Score, because we're going to go watch the Bulls, and we're going to talk about it. I also needed to point out that apparently you and I both made an error. You made the error. I just confirmed the error, basically.
Uh-oh.
I let it go. A current member of the Score staff, who I will not name, but his name is Chris Ranji, said James Shields, not Jake Peavy.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, to both of us. I was complicit.
Thanks,
he says,
Chris.
Get your bleep together.
Yeah.
So...
Clearly, I need to follow him.
Appreciate Ranji.
Yeah.
Tune in. He's a very important person in St. Louis.
Out in the loo?
Yeah. Well, it's not just that he's an important person. He talks about important stuff.
I know. He's the political guy now.
So now when he comes here, it's like his favorite thing.
So clearly he listens to us while he's in St. Louis. Because we're the better program.
Well, it's like.
It's sports.
It's the toy department. He goes from talking about real human topics.
Yeah.
Then it's like, all right, should Craig Council dump Alzali? Let's go.
Talking about whether or not there's going to be a government shutdown. And then he calls us at 6 o'clock to say, hey, it was James Shields, you idiots. It wasn't Jake Peavy.
Exactly. Right, thanks, Ranji. You're the best.
Let's go to Pat out in Arlington. We did promise we'd be chatting about some Bears in this segment. Pat, you want to talk about this stadium situation with the Bears? What's the latest for you?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for taking my call. First off, go Bulls tonight. Yes. Any injury update on Drummond or DeSumo? But question was for Mark. I called in about 3 months ago, and I asked your percentage of the Bears move out to Arlington Heights, and you said, you know, you thought it was still a pretty good shot. Any updates now that think they might move downtown? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, good. That's a good question. I'm trying to think about, or I have no idea how long ago that was.
Three months, you said.
It was 3 months.
Called you 3 months ago. Don't you remember?
Okay. No. Oh. But I do remember 3 months ago having the opinion that it still felt like it was going to land in Arlington Heights. Yes, I definitely own that. How do I feel now that they're seemingly talking serious about having it in the city? I am definitely leaning more towards the city. If I had to say where that stadium is going to be built, like put the gun to the head, I'd say it's still Arlington Heights, just somehow, some way. I want it in the city.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that, but I don't think
I know that.
I do. I mean, I'm a sucker for Soldier Field, Chicago Bears being in the city of Chicago. It's a beautiful, area, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's just something about the Bears. Like, I want all my teams to be in the city, and I get it. There's many teams that, New York, they do it. In San Francisco, where they play in the suburbs of their...
Why do you hate Chicago so much?
No, I love Chicago. That's what I'm saying.
Why do you want it in Arlington Heights, then?
Because I don't want it in Arlington Heights. Don't do me. You can't do that. You can't... Michael?
My bad.
It's like when they were imitaining Dwight Schrute on The Office. What's going on?
What's going on
What's
here?
Going
Wait,
on
I just
here?
Said
Michael?
I wanted it in Chicago.
Michael?
Yeah, I think, Rhodey, I mean, listen, if you could wave a magic wand, you would just build some sort of contraption that could, go over the train tracks and allow for some peaceful Wizard of Oz-like stroll down a, yellow brick road that gets you to the Soldier Field without there being, so much,
I know it's a problem. That's why I was saying, I think it was during the break, I'd just cover my head and say, okay, show us how you're going to, just do what you got to do to make this work because it doesn't feel... completely plausible in my brain yet, doing it in the city, but that's what I would like to see them do.
Okay.
But if I had to say, I'm definitely not at 90% like I was probably 3 months ago.
It's an interesting one. A soap opera will certainly be following.
Yeah.
He is Mark Grody. I'm Gabe Ramirez. This is 670 The Score. Well, what we do know is that Caleb Williams most certainly playing at Soldier Field, not Arlington Heights, because we are all anticipating that he will be the first pick in the draft. But what does the rest of that look like? And now, we get to talk to Mark Grody about his mock draft 2.0. Tell me the biggest difference between 1 and 2, because that's how you got to hook the people from the beginning.
Well, the biggest difference is that I completely changed things about with the Bears' number 9 pick. I had originally...
Well, take me through the first... You got just the Bears mock part of it, or you have 1 through 9?
I have the Bears... I have all of them.
Yeah, let me... I want to hear
15,
all of them. I
want to
hear them
all. 15, yeah. I'm trying to bring it up.
Oh, okay. I'll talk a little bit longer. Look at this. Watch this. Do not forget, tonight the Bulls take on the Hawks at the United Center. The NBA play-in tournament pregame coverage is coming up at 8:15. Tip-offs at 8:30. The only local broadcast of the game can be heard right here on 670 The Score. Don't forget to download the Odyssey app. And, of course, since Mark Grody is about to give us this mock draft 2.0, Don't forget, draft coverage on The Score presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Bears, you are a pro, my friend. All right, here is my...
I like this. Leo Stoddard producing today.
He's trying to one-up Sears, man. From what apparently what
he
went
heard
on
that
here.
I said that, yeah.
Yeah, the magic.
I like this.
Pressure's on Stoddard. All right, here's my mic. Just stop me whenever you need to.
Oh, I will.
I'm going 1 through 15. I've got little explanations by them. Nothing
like
long or exorbitant.
Number
or
two, who
like
is
that.
It? Who is it? I can't wait. Is it Jaden or is it Drake?
You ready for it? So you don't even want me to put... Let me just read what I wrote.
Oh, okay.
May I please
absolutely.
Quote myself?
Absolutely, please.
Let me one quote myself.
Bears.
Okay, Bears. Chicago Bears QB Caleb Williams, USC. It's the move the Bears have had to make all along. While building around Justin Fields would not have been negligent, Williams simply represents an undeniable temptation whose skills check all of the boxes for an elite quarterback.
Bears.
All right, quickly.
Number two,
the Commanders. Quarterback Jaden Daniels, LSU.
Yes.
Daniels has gained steam since the combine, Grody writes. Number three.
I can't third person Grody. That's just too much for me.
New England Patriots. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
This can blow you away. They take quarterback J.J. McCarthy, Michigan. I wrote the following. You just know they will.
No.
It's the whole Tom Brady template thing.
They do not
there,
want that smoke in their locker room.
Why is that smoke? Because of the Tom Brady comp?
Of course.
Oh, they'd love
it's like if
that
the Bulls
smoke.
Drafted somebody from North Carolina and he was supposed to be some sort of savior, but he was like the secondary savior.
I mean, like selling. I mean, okay. Paul Markish says he's going to be the best quarterback in the
Paul Markish went to
NFL.
Michigan.
That's Oh, yeah, that's All right.
right.
I forgot
Number
about
four,
that.
What you got?
It's a good point. Arizona Cardinals, they will take wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., Ohio State. Could help eliminate some of the gray area surrounding Kyler Murray.
Okay.
You like that. The Chargers at number five take offensive tackle Joe Alt, Notre Dame. Left tackle for the next 7 or 8 years in L.A. has Jim Harbaugh written all over it.
Passing up on Malik Neighbors.
Yeah.
Don't have Keenan Allen. Don't have Mike Williams. Okay, I like it.
Yep.
I mean, actually, I don't.
Yeah,
I'm here
you're not
for
into
it.
That. You're
no,
not
no.
into that. That's okay.
Number six.
That's okay. I'm just thinking along the lines of Jim Harbaugh. Number six, New York Giants. Quarterback, your guy. Drake May, North Carolina.
Ooh, I like that. Ooh.
May has not, I write the following. May has not done anything wrong. It's just that Jaden Daniels has bigger upside. Sorry, Gabe.
Okay.
And J.J. McCarthy has GMs trying to outsmart themselves.
Yeah.
So, but there you go. Drake May.
I'm a Drake May fan, so I like Drake May heading to the Giants. Okay,
cool. Tennessee Titans at number 7 overall. They will take a left tackle, Olufashinu, out of Penn State.
Nobody's taken Malik Neighbors yet?
Nobody's
and we've gotten a 7?
Isn't that crazy? This is just the way it worked out with my mock draft. So,
7 Titans offensive linemen.
You ready?
8 Falcons.
8 Atlanta. Defensive end Dallas Turner.
Gonna cry. Bears get Malik Neighbors.
Stand by. The Falcons have all the cool pieces on offense. Now get to the QB. You ready for number 9? Chicago Bears.
I don't know if my emotions can handle this.
I don't know if you're gonna. Yeah, actually, now based on the things that you're saying to me right now, that you're not gonna be able to handle what I'm about to tell you. Bears will draft wide receiver Rome Odunze.
I knew you were
going to
say that because you loved him.
Washington.
Mark Grody talked to Rome Odunze at the combine and he fell in love with him. And now he has him at number. Are you kidding me? I told you Malik Neighbors is Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you
And you
did.
Know what? We had a great caller yesterday, Groats, before we go down for the rest of the 15, had a great caller yesterday that said, hey, everybody's thinking about Keenan Allen, how he only has 1 year left on his deal. After that, DJ Moore is only going to have 1 year left on his deal. And a lot of people aren't thinking about whether or not the Bears are going to up the money amount of money that DJ Moore is going to want to remain a Chicago Bear. So you really have to get yourself, you know, even maybe that speedy slot guy that can be the, okay.
Well, hey, Rome Odunze, not
so Malik
slow.
Neighbors goes to the Jets?
Yeah, he does.
Are you kidding me? You get Aaron Rodgers, Malik Neighbors?
Yes. And I actually really enjoy what I wrote here, too. The Packers were...
The rich get richer?
No. The Packers...
Right, Mark Grody?
Listen to me. Okay. The Packers were allergic to drafting wide receivers in the first round for Aaron Rodgers, so this will please him greatly.
Oh, my God.
Malik name. By the way, Rome Odunze has everything,
I like Jamar Chase. I know. I'm a Michael Penix Jr. fan, so Rome Odunze is his guy.
Stand by. We'll see if Michael Penix makes it into
so
this.
So 11, 12 is Bronco, or no, 11 is Vikings.
11 is the Minnesota Vikings. they will go with defensive end Jared Verse out of Florida State. Out goes Danielle Hunter.
Out goes Justin Jefferson, too. If they make that pick, it's going to be bad.
Why?
He doesn't want to be there with Sam Darnold throwing him the ball and other offense.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. 80% of the mocks seem to have Minnesota trading up to grab a quarterback. I just don't think that those teams are going to want to give
Jared
up those quarterbacks.
That's, I don't think so either. Go ahead.
So that's why I think Minnesota's stuck. I really do.
Broncos at 12.
Stuck. So the Broncos at number 12, they will go with quarterback Michael Penix Jr.
Smart.
Out of Washington.
Smart. I like him.
Penix may be a reach at 12, but Sean Payton will melt without a high-profile quarterback. And Jarrett Stidham, currently QB1. Ben DiNucci, QB2. Questions?
No.
There should be no questions.
No questions.
On to the
Raiders.
The Raiders, Brock Bowers. I know you hate Brock Bowers.
I don't hate Brock Bowers
out of Georgia. You've made that very clear. You don't like Brock Bowers.
I don't like Brock Bowers for the Bears at 9.
Okay. And no, it seems personal. I don't know what it is with you, but
hold on. Yeah. First of all, you said Brock Bowers was going to be on the Bears before they got Gerald Everett. And now that they have Gerald Everett, you conceded that you would not take Brock Bowers anymore.
Well, plus I had to do something different for mock draft 2.0. I think
Brock Bowers 13. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so Brock Bowers of the Raiders at number 13. Randy Mueller also told me I'm crazy. Yeah. The former GM of the Saints.
He says it's okay. I say it. I'm a nut job. I got it. 14. What you got?
Because you could take it.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Saints will take offensive tackle Talise Fuaga, Oregon State, a position of need for the Saints. And finally, at 15, the Indianapolis Colts defensive tackle Byron Murphy II. I'm feeling a little boom or bust for Byron, but not every undersized, hyper-talented defensive tackle will play like Aaron Donald, and we do that a lot.
That's
these defensive
Mark
tackles.
Grody's mock draft 2.0 right there.
Woo! Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you.
All right, thoughts on the draft, 312-644.
Are they killing
67,
me?
67-67. I haven't looked at the text line yet.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Feel free to throw that in there, but the phone lines are open. We're going to take a quick break, then we'll take your calls after this. 312-644-6767. Thoughts on the mock draft? Thoughts on what the Bears should do? We'll take that and your calls next. It's Gabe. It's Grody. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
So how do you take the Parkins and Spiegel Show with you?
A patented Danny Parkins thought exercise.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
That's right. It is Gabe and Grody here on 670 The Score. Of course, we are leading you right into Bulls basketball. Bulls taking on the Hawks tonight at the United Center in the NBA Play-In Tournament. Pre-game begins at 8:15, tip-off at 8:30. We are the only local broadcast because that's what we do, live and local, here on 670 The Score. And, of course, you can catch us on the Odyssey app as well. I'm listening to the mock draft, Grody. Roma Dunze, the passing up of that kind of strikes me, passing up on Malik Nabers, but I'm here for it. And I know we're going to have more conversations about it in a second.
I did the same thing you did, though. I was like, holy cow. Malik Nabers is not off the board yet. I mean, just because of, we just thought there'd be teams darting up in this draft to go get these receivers. But that's the way it fell for me, man. That's the way it came down.
And I think anybody would be happy with that situation if that were to be the case where the Chicago Bears end up with Roma Dunze. Because if you're still telling me that it's going to be Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams, I'd be sad that I didn't have Malik Nabers, but I'd still be extremely excited that
Here's
would be
the way it. You think of it. Do you feel like Roma Dunze is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL? Okay,
yes.
And obviously you think Malik Nabers is.
Yes.
So really, you're not – as long as both are 1,000-yard receivers, and I get it, you think Malik Nabers is Tyreek Hill, so that's a different level. That's a game changer. But if you really think, Gabe, that you're getting a 1,000-yard receiver, you should not be – I don't want you losing sleep over Roma Dunze tonight.
I think of a guy like Jordan Addison, who Caleb Williams was throwing the ball to, right? He had 911 yards for the Vikings last year.
Yeah.
I expect both Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze to be better than him, but Malik Nabers did certainly get more yards than that.
That's true.
Especially with an injured Kirk Cousins for the back half of the year. Still putting up 900 with Josh Dobbs.
Oh, man. Remember Josh Dobbs? Yeah. Remember that whole thing?
I remember when I told you he was like him and Justin Fields were the same player?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean,
one just disappeared. Yeah. The other is on his way to disappearing.
Oh,
man. Did I say that?
Well, of course.
I don't mean that.
Bears going to be getting that fresh start April 25th. Draft begins. Mark Grody's going to be at Hallis Hall giving us all the updates when that things happen. And, of course, we'll be chatting a little bit more about the Bears in the 7 o'clock hour. More, but also the Bulls as well. I want to talk a little bit about this game. It's going to be an important one. But we have a special guest in the building right now. Someone who I would consider a special guest. We got the CEO, co-founder of the Chicago Hounds, James English, in the building. James, welcome to the studio. I know it's your first time here.
Cool, thanks for having me.
Yeah, great, no problem. But I want you to tell the people, I know you guys got a game. You can call it a match or a game, people. Yeah. But you got one on Sunday, right? And I want you to tell the people about it, how they can get out there and where it's at.
Yeah, SeatGeek Stadium in Bridgeview. We're playing LA at 5 p.m. Fourth home game in a row. We've strung two wins together, so it's a big game for us. You can get tickets at chicagohounds.com. Come out and experience it. It's fast. It's action-packed. It's high scoring, and it's rowdy and raucous, so I think people enjoy it.
It's rugby,
like,
man.
It's like if UFC met the NFL, and then it'd kind of be like a, but it's a bit more beautiful than that. I think that's the most. What do you think is the biggest misconception about rugby?
I think it's about the idea that it's like full of crazy guys who with no helmets or no pads on. They are pretty crazy, and it's a tough sport, but I think you take the collision idea of football, but you make it more of a contact and controlled contact, this idea of shoulder tackling. When I came to America originally, I worked with Pete Carroll for a little bit, who's a big advocate of rugby-style tackling.
Really?
And shoulders. And that was really cool. And I think what you'll see is like it's a little bit more controlled, but, you know, don't expect not to see lots of blood, bruising, and a little bit of fighting as well.
I am complicit in all of that. I have to admit, like, because I think of rugby, I think, whoa, that's dangerous, man. Yeah. Those guys are crazy, man. I knew some of those guys in the fraternity, man. They're crazy. Yeah. But it's not like that. They're actual. I mean, I know there's some of that, but these are professional. Does that bother them that there is that misconception? Or no, because the people that watch it are into it and get it and understand it?
Yeah, and I think, look, it's often associated with that kind of that college sport where guys, like, you know, used to drink a lot and go out and spend more time together in team sports. But obviously, like, globally, it's like one of the third biggest team sport participation wise. And I don't think it bothers them. I think that these guys kind of like that. They want to be kind of known like that. And they're big guys and they wear like little shorts and they've got no helmets on. And that's great for us because we can market these guys more. You can see their faces and you can see the cuts and the blood that comes down as well. So,
Well, the good thing is you can actually see the gentleman up close and personal. James just let me know that's one of the coolest things about going to a great game is that you can actually get on the pitch. You can talk to the players. You can take pictures with them and meet them afterwards so you can see the gladiators in real life. And again, let everybody know when the game is Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday, 5 p.m., SeatGeek Stadium in Bridgeview.
And if you want tickets,
ChicagoHounds.com.
Make sure you check them out. All right, we got more Gabe, more Grody on the way. Again, Bulls game. Pre-game begins at 8:15. We are leading you right into that. Cody Westland hanging out with us at 7:20. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe and Grody right here on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.